We are a church that believes in Facebook, so we're going to put our face in the book tonight. If you need a book, slip your hand up. We'd love to present you with a Bible, and you can take it home with you. Read it. Wear it out. Okay. Psalm 71. Best way to find the Psalms, fold your Bible in half. And go right or left, whichever way you need to go to get to Psalm 71. Let's pray. Lord, as we open our Bibles, may our hearts be open as well. That's the all-important thing, that our hearts would receive your word in good soil, that it would bear much fruit. We need to be changed. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one that changes us through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so, that you set us free from sin and death. And Lord, you now make us and mold us into the image of your Son. What a miracle. Maybe we're not what we should be, but we're certainly not what we used to be. Hallelujah. And you promised to complete that work under the day of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. We also do thank you, Lord, for delivering those 33 miners in Chile. What a miracle. Thank you, Lord, that you gave them the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight to make that equipment, to develop it. And Lord, that every single one of those souls was saved. But yet most of all, I pray that their souls would be saved just like ours are. Lord, you saved their lives, but now I pray that they would know who truly delivered them from the darkness they were in. And Lord, I pray that through this, that Jesus Christ would be glorified, that you would be given all the due glory, honor, and praise that you so deserve. So again, thank you for tonight, the blessing it is to gather here together in this worship service, to sing to you from our hearts. And now, Lord, to receive from you in our hearts your word. Thank you for the Psalms. They just seem to meet us right where we are, Lord. With all that we find, it just, Lord, you comfort our soul with your precious word. And so tonight, lead us, guide us, teach us through your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just equip us, change us, conform us more into Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Psalm 71, dark letters just below Psalm 71, the superscription is what it's called. It says, God, the rock of salvation. Now tonight, in our superscription, unlike the others that we've seen up to this point, we notice immediately that the writer of this particular psalm is anonymous. Last week we saw that Psalm 70 was a psalm of David. Next week, Psalm 72, a psalm of Solomon. But we don't really know who the writer of this psalm is. We do know who inspired it because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And holy men, over 40 holy men over a period of 1,500 years, wrote these things as they were led by the person of the Holy Spirit. And as I put this message together this week, I just felt in my heart, you know what? The Lord left this open-ended for a reason. Was it David? Could be. Sons of Korah, they've written a few psalms already that we've covered. Was it Asaph, the worship leader? Ethan wrote one psalm. Maybe he wrote two. Solomon? He's written a couple of psalms here as well. Or Moses. We don't know. But what I like about this, the fact that it's open-ended, is that we can relate to it ourselves as well as every person that was named here. It very well could apply to all of them, testifying of the Lord's faithfulness from their youth. And that's what this psalm is all about. God, the rock of salvation, to all of these that I mentioned a moment ago, And every one of you in this room that belongs to Jesus Christ, isn't it wonderful that the longer that we know the Lord, the more we can testify of His faithfulness. I'll bet we could have testimonies even this week of the faithfulness of the Lord. Isn't He great? He really is. Even today, God was faithful again to me. I'm not always faithful, but He's always faithful and true. And so everyone that we see in Scripture that belongs to the Lord can testify of His faithfulness. I can put my name in here in verse 18. God's even faithful to the gray-headed. Crown of glory, folks. I know the world kind of looks down on gray hair. But you know what? I thank God that Scripture says it's a crown of glory. And I don't hide it. Wonderful sister in the Lord says, yeah, but didn't Paul say, I die daily? That's a good one for you ladies and Lady Clairol. I die daily. But you know what? Even as unintelligent as I am, the Bible says it's wisdom. So, you think I want to color that? I want people to at least think I have a little bit of wisdom just by the color of my hair. As children of God, we can also make this our own personal psalm and testimony as well. I've often heard men and women that were raised in the Lord almost complain because they don't have a mass murderer testimony. But to me, the greatest testimony of all, with all of my heart, is that young man or that young woman that has always walked with the Lord. If you were raised in a Christian home with a Christian mom and a Christian dad, and you feel maybe you don't have a Calvary Chapel testimony, if you would, praise be to God. You know, I wish I had that type of a testimony. I wish I could say, like Enoch, that I walked with God. And then Enoch was not. He was caught up to meet with the Lord. Yes, I know. We can share our testimonies. Those of us that have been steeped in the world and, you know, a certain part of our life. And there's a testimony that we can reach out of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. But you know what? There's a price to pay for that as well. Yes, I have been forgiven. And yes, you have been forgiven. But you know, it's almost like the cuts and bruises on our body where we have scars. And yes, they've been healed, but those of us who have been in the world still have these reminders. And I wish I didn't have those reminders. And so if you're a young man or a young woman here tonight, walk with the Lord. Make good choices. Don't go along with the world. It takes a live fish to swim upstream. All the dead ones just go along with the flow. As children of God, we can make this our personal testimony as well, that God will be faithful, whether you've just received the Lord or you've walked with Him 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or so, that God will be faithful, not only in your early years and today, but in those days to come, should you one day grow up to be gray-headed. And God gives us peace. He gives us hope. He gives us thanksgiving. Even here, whoever was the writer of this particular psalm testifies that they had God's hope and God's trust from their birth. And you know, whether we believed in the Lord or not, He was there. He created us. He fearfully and wonderfully made us in our mother's womb. And He was there even at our birth. Yep, He had a plan for you and for me. And even though I didn't recognize Him for the first 33 years of my life, He was there. Hindsight's always 20/20. I look in the rearview mirror now and I go, yep, you know what? He was there all the time. And I thank You for His long suffering. And I thank You, Lord, for Your patience and peace that He wore me down with His love. And He wants to do the same for you. So as well as His direction and protection and correction, we see here in the life of the psalmist, we're going to see as he proclaims towards the end of the psalm how God was there in the sunset years of his life. I love what Psalm 37:25 says. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Isn't that wonderful? Yep, I'm old now, was young, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And so whoever wrote this psalm speaks to the younger generation and then continues to proclaim even to this day that we must put our faith and our trust in the Lord. Look at the first three verses tonight. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Now keep in mind, this psalm was not written in days of prosperity. This psalm was written at a time when Israel was in a backslidden condition, politically as well as religiously. And so isn't this a timely psalm? Look at our nation today, politically as well as spiritually. This is timely. That's what, you know, I've been really enjoying going through the Psalms here on Wednesday night, because it just seems as though the Lord meets us right where we are. And even though the world is moaning and groaning, well, Scripture tells us that when the wicked rule, the righteous groan. So, folks, you better register to vote and see if we can change things in the next election. When the righteous rule, people rejoice. You need to know who you're voting for. Remember Jerry Falwell? You know what he used to do? On Sunday morning, just before election time, he'd say, okay, all of you that are registered to vote, I want you to stand up. And people would stand up. And while they were standing, the ushers had all of the voter registration forms, and they would go pass them out to all the people who are still sitting down. I can't emphasize to you enough, you need to get out and vote. You really do. Because if you don't vote, you've got no right to complain. Don't think about the results. Just go. We've got forums back there that tell you the issues and what the candidates have voted on in the area of same-sex marriage and homosexuality, in the military, abortion, all those. Those are important issues even to this very day, folks. And you need to know what these candidates are voting for. Don't listen to the TV commercials, because they all look like Pinocchio, you know. And the closer we get to election time in, these people are just lying their brains out. You need to know what they vote for. You need to vote for the best of the lot. You won't find a perfect candidate, and I'll tell you why. The only perfect candidate that ever walked this planet was nailed to a cross. Righteousness and truth was the foundation of his throne. But you need to vote for the best of the lot. And so at this time, Israel was in very dark times. It was written in times of decadence and idolatry. Yet, the writer, whoever he was, did not pack up and leave and move to a different city, state, or country. They stayed and they prayed. They stayed and they witnessed. The writer of this particular psalm is writing a living testimony to the youth. You know, a healthy church always has gray-headed people in it. Always. There needs to be a good cross-section of people. We need the young and the old. Why? Because Scripture tells us the older men and the older women are to encourage the younger men and the younger women. We are to admonish you and train you up and teach you these things, not only by the words that we say, but by the walk that we walk. It's important. And so why is it that during times of prosperity and wealth and abundance, we don't sing what it says there in the first verse? In you, O Lord, I put my trust. People don't sing that psalm or song, do they, during times of prosperity? They don't. In you, O Lord, the psalmist says, I put my trust. The psalmist looks in both directions in this psalm and sees God's faithfulness and God's righteousness from beginning to end. It's like, Lord, I wasn't forsaken then. I'm not being forsaken now. And as we see at the end of the psalm, according to Hebrews 13:5, he will never leave us nor forsake us even to the end of the age. That's secure, isn't it? Aren't you glad that you're secure? Even though the earth may be shaking around us, By the way, you know our brother Steve Druskin that moved to Oklahoma? They had a 4.5 earthquake in Oklahoma today. I said, you can run, but you can't hide. Isn't it great, though? For you younger folks, the Lord will keep you in your insecurities. And for us older folks, He will keep us in our social security. Beginning to end. And that's good to know. That comforts my heart. Yet notice, in his old age, he still needs to trust. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. You never get too old to trust the Lord. Matter of fact, throughout all eternity, we're going to trust the Lord and praise the Lord and worship the Lord, right? Won't that be awesome, man? It's no more worries. No more ulcers. No more Tums. I just loaded up on Tums again yesterday. That's just kind of like pastor food, Tums. He still needs to trust. He still needs to pray. He still needs to walk by faith. You never outgrow that. Didn't Jesus say that we're to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking? Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it will be given unto you. No matter what age you are, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust Him and pray and walk by faith and ask. And you know what? There are many benefits in growing older. You know, the world will tell you it's a negative thing and it's a bad thing. But man, you've seen your saints. Aren't you blessed that you just kind of, we're cruising. We're getting towards the finish line, you know. We're getting ready to enter in to that golden city that we sung about a moment ago. You think that's just a song that Daryl and them came up with tonight? No, that's a promise. We're going to walk on streets of gold one day. How awesome is that? Gold is asphalt in heaven. For the believer, old age brings with it more dependence of God, on God. And that's what faith is. The more you grow in your faith, faith is depending on God by faith. And the older we grow, the more that we truly need to depend on Him. And we have more reliance on God and a closer relationship with God. And that's why the psalm writer says, never let me be put to shame. And he's gray-headed. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. And it's almost like, you know, the psalmist can almost not hear. You begin to go deaf. But he says, incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You see the wisdom and the knowledge that the writer has. He knows his God. Oh, that our prayers were like this. That when we prayed, you know, we would continually say, Lord, I put my trust in you. And Lord, you'll never let me be put to shame. You're my rock. You're my fortress. And all of these things. Instead of just these gimme, gimme prayers that we often hear today. He inhabits the worship and the praises of his people. We need to acknowledge God's character. We need to acknowledge God's attributes in our prayers. And not just the generic prayers that we often throw up there. I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But since I'm in the gray-headed psalm tonight, God's teaching me some things that I really need to kind of get in order here. Dependence, reliance, a closer relationship. Yet also, in a number of ways, old age can bring with it certain fears. And yes, you notice with elderly people, even with senior saints, there are these certain fears that they have that come with it. And, you know, there's a certain point in your life where all of a sudden you realize that, you know what, I'm getting old. Bless you. And you come to that point in your life where all of a sudden it registers, you know what, I'm getting old. Those of you that when you turned 60, did it like just all of a sudden happen one day? Like, man, I was just 20 years old. And now I'm looking in my mirror and looking at my dad going, wait a minute, what happened here? How did it go so fast? And all of a sudden, just one day, you turn around and you're older. Well, I got news for you. For you young people, more than likely, the same thing is going to happen to you. I guarantee it. If you live long enough, same thing. You'll be an oldie but goodie. But you have two choices. I've noticed with the senior citizens, there's two categories. either grumpy or gracious. People that grow up knowing the Lord age and mellow, don't they? Remember Rusty Foster? Man, what a saint he was. He was gracious. Always talked about going home to be with the Lord. The amazing thing is the day that he had his stroke, he was coming from Coachella Valley Rescue Mission. He was ministering to the saints there. He ministered all the way up till the Lord took him home. Incredible. That's why he was gracious and not grumpy. Because he walked with God. And he had the promises. Those of you that knew Rusty, did anybody know more scripture than Rusty did? Like, man, Pastor Jim and I go, man, that guy knows more than both of us put together. Here's a walking commentary. Yep, one day, overnight, your body will be weak and begin to fail, and you begin to lose your independence. That's one of the first things you hear from people when they get old. Well, I'm starting to lose my independence. Then they begin to fear falling. And then you fear being forgotten. And then you don't want to be a burden on your kids. And then you kind of feel like you don't fit in. And that's what happens. It's almost like with my dad. All of a sudden, I turned around one day and my dad was just this frail old man. He was beginning to fail in his memory and everything. And it was like, wow, Dad, this like just happened overnight. And I thought, gee, I wish I would have taken the time to just kind of enjoy my dad more and to spend more time with my dad. And, but I was always so busy and singing the same old song. We're going to have a good time then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. But you know what? If you sing that old song, that time's never going to come. But because of Jesus Christ, now I know my dad and I are going to have a good time then one day because my dad's in heaven. And I look forward to that day. But you know what? Our gray-headed brother here prays, Lord, I trust you. Don't let me be put to shame. Why? Because old age can be very humbling, can't it? And again, when my dad began to fail, he came. We thought we could take care of him at the house. And it was very humbling, not only for him, but for me, because for the first time ever, I had to give my dad a shower. And that was very humbling. Because my dad was a very private man and a very proud man. But there comes that time in all of our lives when it's not only very humbling for our loved ones, but it's humbling for us. Hear me, save me, he says. I'm weak, I'm feeble. You're my strength, in verse 3, my refuge. But I like the fact that he says in verse 3, I can resort. The term resort in Hebrew means I can run to you continually. Why? Because I have all these years. The psalmist is looking in the rearview mirror. All of these years, I have been able to resort to you. I've been able to run to you, and times haven't changed. As a matter of fact, Lord, I run to you more often now because all my running is in my heart. It's not with my legs and my feet anymore. For the world, they try to avoid old age. Ever notice? Madison Avenue, man, all the stuff you've got to have to stay young. Oil of Olay. But you know what? For the child of God, we have the oil of gladness that just showers us. Like the psalmist said, the Holy Spirit just pours over us like the oil that was running down the beard of Aaron. We don't need oil of Olay. We've got the oil of gladness. Another concern for the aged, as we'll see in verses 4 to 6, is being abused or taken advantage of by those who prey on the elderly. Does that sound familiar? A lot of that going on today. Verse 4. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually to you. That's another one of the fears of the elderly. That's really cool. I'm not going to point anybody out here tonight, but when my dad was down here in the valley, we moved him down here. He was at a local assisted living place. And the lady that took care of him was a born-again Christian. And one day she showed up at this church with her husband and their son. And she said, you look familiar. And I said, you look familiar too. come to find out, she used to take care of my dad. Isn't that cool that God has Christian people wherever we go, young or old? And that was so cool, you know. All of a sudden, she showed up, and I thought, I just knew that she looked familiar, and she was the lady that took care of my dad. You know, the state of a nation, I believe, can be judged by the way that they take care of their elderly and by the way that they take care of their children as well. God has a lot to say about taking care of the widows and the widowers and also taking care of the widow ones. That wasn't even in my notes. So we wab it. Anyway, Jesus said in those that would abuse children, Matthew 18:6, Mark 9:42, Luke 17:2, whoever causes one of those little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better that they took a millstone and hung it around their neck and cast themselves in the deepest part of the sea. That's what God feels about those who would abuse or take advantage of children. That's a heavy one. There's a lot of scripture verses about the widow and the widower, the elderly. All through scripture, too many scripture verses to even put in my notes tonight. But God is very much concerned with children, with orphans, with widows, with widowers. And there are many, many, many warnings in scripture against oppressing the widow and the elderly. And even the psalmist, whoever this is, whoever wrote it, warned that he said, by you I have been upheld from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. Even back in verse 4, deliver me, my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. And again, he repeats in verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. And this guy's got some mileage here. Walk with the Lord many, many days. Verse 6, but you I have been upheld by from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually to you. And yes, we were even helpless when we were born. God causes it all to work. Even in the mother's body, with the contractions and all, with that baby that was fearfully and wonderfully made, and how God brings everything together, and the contractions start and all. And then the baby is born. You know, babies are always born on their birthday. Yeah. That's perfect timing. That's a God thing. Babies are always born on their birthday. Same thing with the elderly. You ever visit a senior saint who has walked with God since their youth? Man. And again, what a contrast between the godless senior citizen. We've got the snowbirds coming down, don't we? My generation, a lot of them. The 60s, ex-hippies and all this stuff. And you know what, when I was growing up, and I know many of you would say, well, you haven't done that yet, Pastor Joe, you haven't grown up yet. But I remember when we were growing up that grandma and grandpa, or nana and tata, whatever you called your grandma and grandpa, they were highly respected. They had self-control. They behaved themselves. And now the valley gets filled with retired people with their second homes and all. And man, the first thing they do is load their half gallons on the cart at Costco. And it's like insane, man. What has happened to the senior citizens of this nation? Honestly, have you noticed? And I'm ending up calling security at 10 o'clock at night going, man, these party animals. Party animals? Yeah, they're 60, 70, 80 years old. Right across from me, and man, they're just making too much noise. How sad it is that that's the state of our nation today. The people that should be the gray-headed that are training up our children, and what do? They blame this younger generation here. And you know what? Look at the standard they're setting today. And they were the ones that were smoking weed in the 60s, and they're the ones that are now probably going to pass the bill to legalize this stuff. Here, because that generation has now come full circle. They are now the senior citizens of America. You see how sin never says enough? a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And back in the 60s and all that stuff, we thought the free love was cool and all this. And, you know, and marijuana never harmed anybody and the whole thing. We've, you know, we've heard all the lies. And yet now look what's going on. Look how far we've come. And it just takes a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole lump. And that's exactly what's going on. Verse 7 to 8, I love this. Notice what the psalmist writes. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Wow. I have become a miracle to many, is what the psalmist says. How? Well, in all that he portrayed, all that they had seen in his life, the way he conducted himself, all that he had been through, all that he endured, people go, wow, you're a miracle. You know, because he walked with God. And oftentimes people that are unstable in life, what do? They look to those that have been through life, that have the gray hair, that both men and women that have walked with God. When the earth begins to shake, that's where they go for stability. Don't your friends do that too? They know you're a Christian now. They mocked you, laughed at you. Oh man, you're a Bible thumper. But what happens when their world begins to shake? All of a sudden, they're calling you, hey, how you doing? But that's a good thing. Why? Because they have seen the miracle in your life. You're no longer the same. You've been bought with a price. And they see what you've been through and what you've endured. They see stability in your family. They've seen you go through the illnesses. They've seen you go through the losing your home. They've seen you go through losing your job. They've seen you go through trials and tests and tribulations. And they see that you're steadfast in the Lord. Because even as he said up in the first verse, that God will never let you be put to shame. And also he said, you're my refuge, you're my rock and my fortress. And the world is beginning to shake. And boy, what a great opportunity for us to witness now. I remember when I first got saved, Tina and I used to go to the convalescent homes, minister there. And man, some of the senior saints there had some stories that were incredible. We'd love to say, just listen to them. They loved the Lord. And there were some of them that they were beginning to lose their memory and wouldn't remember their relatives' names. But I'll tell you what, you quote a scripture verse and they'll finish it for you. Or you sing an old hymn and they'll sing right along with you. Why? Because those things have been deeply rooted and implanted within their heart. That's the basis of their faith, the Word of God and the worship of God. And that's what's going to get us through. Over the years, from childhood to manhood, those who knew him witnessed the miraculous things that God had done in this person's life. That's what it means to be a witness. Witness isn't always trying to convert people. Witness, the term in the original language, means to be a martyr. It means to lay your life down for the things of God and to lay your life down for those around us. That's what it means to be a witness, because everybody's watching. To be a witness in trials. You know, people marvel at our response, our attitudes, in our triumphs. Who gets the praise? Who gets the glory? Walking with God has tremendous benefits, doesn't it? I love the witness of Josh Hamilton, Texas Rangers. He wouldn't celebrate with the champagne in the clubhouse their last celebration. But guess what? This time they decided to use ginger ale for him. And he went and celebrated with the team. That's a witness, folks. When you don't compromise, you don't have to do the things they do out there. And God has blessed him. That's probably why they won the championship, so God could be glorified. You know, God wants to be glorified in your life as well. And the key is to the youth of tonight, that the psalmist is looking back at, the key is tonight for you young folks is to make right choices. One wrong choice can change your direction, can take you on a detour that you'll regret. Make right choices. When you walk with God, especially a young person, people marvel. You Christians, don't you marvel when you see a young man or a young woman that's fired up for Jesus Christ? You go, wow, man, that guy or that gal, man, God's going to use them in a tremendous way. It's a breath of fresh air to see a young person or a young couple walking with the Lord. That's what it means to be a witness. And the key, right there at the end of verse 8, God was his refuge, He praised and worshiped and walked with God all the day. Notice what he says. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. You ever notice how you have this God consciousness all the time because the Holy Spirit's within you? And it's almost as though you got a song in your heart, or it's almost like, you know, you're talking to the Lord where you go. That's what it means to pray without ceasing and to worship without ceasing. It's like everywhere you go, you know, in the shower, you know, wherever you go, and just sing it to the Lord, in your car. Verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. And you can see there's just a sense of concern and fear here. Why? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. We still have to deal with, even in, again, the sunset of our years, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he oftentimes can't get your flesh anymore. But boy, does he like to play mind games. My enemy speaks against me. That's why Paul tells us we need to take every thought captive. We need to rely on the promises of God. If the devil's playing mind games with you, take those thoughts captive. Don't dwell on those thoughts. As I had mentioned Sunday, oftentimes, man, it's for me like, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. You know, where you just got to tell the enemy to flee. Because it's the mind games, even here. My enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait to take my life counsel together. And it could have been a physical enemy as well. But sometimes, I'll tell you, the biggest battle can be in our minds and in our hearts, can't it? But the good news is this, is that even though he prays, Lord, don't cast me off in my old age. You know what? The child of God never has to worry about the Lord casting them off in our old age. Promise. It's a promise of God. We don't have to worry about that. You see, God doesn't operate the way the world does. And even though the years wear away our personal beauty and appearance, you know what? You're just as beautiful to the Lord as you've ever been. I love the scripture verse where the Lord says, New Testament Jesus, unless a seed die and fall into the ground, it won't bear much fruit. You ever see that verse? I almost think of us sometimes as a seed. You know, we get all wrinkled up like an old seed. You know, but look what's going to come forth one day. That metamorphosis process that's going to take place. You know, God sees the finished product in you and in me. Just we're beautiful to behold in his eyes. Not according to, you know, what oil of Olay says, but what the oil of gladness says, that, you know, the one who truly loves us and gave his life for us. I remember one time hearing a story about the term metamorphosis and what it truly means. It's a term we learned in fifth grade science class, right? About the butterfly. And many of us, I'm sure, have observed the caterpillar. You know, all these legs going through the dirt, kicking up dust. We're just choking to death down here. Lord, I got to get out of here, you know. And it begins to climb up a tree or the side of the house or whatever and spin this cocoon. And goes through the metamorphosis process. It's exactly what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. That we're going to have we have an earthly body right now, but God's going to give us a heavenly body one day. Isn't that great? And there was a gentleman that came out of his house one time and saw this butterfly now trying to work its way out of the cocoon. And it's got the legs up and really trying to pull and work its way. It's just agonizing, trying to get out of this little cocoon. And so he went in and he got a single-edged razor blade and he cut the side of the cocoon and let this butterfly out. And it fell to the ground and it died. And later on, he came to know that the fact that that butterfly died was because part of its ability to fly and to live when it gets out is that it had to go through the struggling process. And you and I have to eat some dirt for a while. And you and I have to struggle to get out of this tent, this human body. But God is going to bring forth that metamorphosis one day in your life and in mine. And look at the difference between this ugly old caterpillar and these beautiful butterflies. That's just a physical picture of a spiritual thing that's going to take place for every one of us one day. And the psalmist knew that. And Paul says one day we will be absent from this body and present with the Lord. And one day we'll see each other in that new body and go, wow, man, is that you? Yeah. Look at all this hair I got, man. You know, big afro going on here. But even though the world thinks you're getting old and wrinkled and, you know, God thinks you're beautiful because he sees the finished product, where the world, the fickle, fallen, futile world, is consumed by the flesh, right? Look at what they do. Remember, Michael Jackson used to sleep in that decompression chamber or something. And sure helped him, didn't it? He's gone. We all have an expiration date like the milk carton. But you know what? That's going to be the best thing that can ever happen to the believer. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's the hope that we have. But the world, you know, they're consumed by the flesh. No commitment. It's just self-seeking, consumed by the outward. You know what? When they don't love you anymore, they'll just throw you away. That's the philosophy of the world today. Just cast you off. But you know what? The Lord will never cast you away. Even when our strength fails, as we see here, we don't need to fear. I love what Asaph says in Psalm 73:25. We'll get to that in probably a week or two. But Asaph writes this, 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for how long? Forever. Man, is that security or what? Even when my flesh and my heart fail, and every heart in this room has a certain number of beats ordained by the Lord, and once you've reached that last beat that he knew before the foundation of the world, you're going to beat it. We're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Man. He knows. He's not going to say, what are you doing here? You're early. Nobody's going to be early. Everybody's going to be right on time. That's why we need to live our lives to the fullest for our King. Live for him. 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. And that's what happens to the senior saint, to the believer. I praise you more and more and more. Why? Because the older we get and the more our flesh begins to fail, the more time we really get to think about those things that really count anymore. We're not consumed by the things that we were in our youth. Remember? Remember all those things the term is to die for? Remember your first car? To die for. Man, that 55 Ford. Whew. Victoria. Chrome rims. It's a beater now. It's probably in the landfill somewhere, you know? And the older you get, more and more spiritually minded you get. The more you begin to think about, you know what? Eternity. Rather than that which is temporal here. He says, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. And you can see more and more the psalmist now is depending upon the strength of the Lord. He gives us our strength anyway, but as youngsters, we don't recognize it as much. Every day I look to you, Lord, as the strength of my life. And the only time we really recognize that, you know, we do need to rely on the strength of the Lord is when all of a sudden we're weak. All of a sudden when we come to the end of ourselves, and all of a sudden, you know, we have to call out for the Lord to be the strength of our life. But that's when we're at our strongest. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. So true, isn't it? God wants us to know him from our youth. From that time when we're just even just old enough to understand who Jesus is. That's why Sunday school teachers are so important. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. And again, I can't read that without thinking of Rusty. He wanted everybody to know. He declared the gospel wherever he went to this generation and to everyone that would come his way. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? What's the answer to that question? Who is like the Lord? Nobody. Nobody is as loving as the Lord is. As a matter of fact, we didn't know what love was until we met him. We knew what phileo was, brotherly love. We knew what eros was, just turn on the TV. But agape love is that love from above. That love that can only come from God. Who is like God? Only God can give us that love, that unconditional love. Who is like God in forgiveness? Who is like God in mercy? Who is like God in long-suffering? Who is like God in grace? Absolutely no one. No one. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again. And yes, God does allow trials to come into our lives. It's part of living on this earth. But trials are good. God allows storms to come into our lives. Sometimes there are storms of correction. Jonah needed a storm of correction. Sometimes there are storms of protection. Noah needed a storm of protection. Sometimes there are storms of direction. And so God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. And yes, storms are good. They strengthen us. They temper us. They prove us. The most beautiful trees on the West Coast are up along the coast of Monterey. Those beautiful trees that have been formed by the wind and the waves and the ocean there. Their character has been built by the elements. And it's the same with you and I. The storms of life are character builders. God doesn't allow them to destroy your faith. God allows them to strengthen your faith. Verse 20b. And bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And that's why God allows trials. Also, with the lute I will praise you. And your faithfulness, O my God, to you I will sing with the harp. O Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. Whoever wrote this psalm is just breaking out the whole orchestra for himself. He's got the lute, he's got the harp, he's singing, he's rejoicing. Just excited about his God in his old age. I love that word redeemed. How about you? You know what that means? It means to be rescued. It means to be ransomed. I don't know about you, but I've got a Bible study. I have been to a Bible study over the past couple of days just by watching those Chileans being rescued down in Chile. Number one, I thought, in looking at those men in the depths of the earth, I thought one day those who reject Christ will be in the depths of the earth one day, separated from God. But yet just like the hero, the last guy to come up out of the bottom there, he was the one that was in charge of getting them all to safety. Jesus Christ descended into the bowels of the earth to set the captives free. And he was the one that made sure that we would be delivered. I thought, man, this is incredible. Look how the whole world is watching. One out of every five people on the planet, there were over 1 billion people watching this rescue. And to me, it just confirmed Revelation chapter 11 with the two witnesses that will be slain and the whole world will be watching. When John, the writer of Revelation, wrote that, he probably had no idea on how that was going to happen. But now, when we can go a half a mile down into the bowels of the earth and see what's going on with someone, don't you think that when that all takes place over in Jerusalem, the whole world's going to be able to watch what's going on? They're all going to be able to see it. I also noticed that there was a man that they brought up today who was not met by his wife, but yet he was met by his concubine. And what really blew me away, 69 days or 70 days in hell didn't break that man's heart enough to cause him to repent of what he did. That's pretty heavy. That shows the hardness of man's heart. I don't think I'd need more than 10 minutes in the hells of the bowels of the earth to even commit or confess sins that I haven't even committed yet. But it shows the hardness of man's heart. Pretty heavy testimony there. And my soul, which you have redeemed. And yes, Jesus Christ came into this world to ransom us, to rescue us, to redeem us. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Why? We can go right back to verse 1. And you, O Lord, I put my trust. How about you tonight? Have you put your trust in the Lord? Do you really truly know that He's your rock and your salvation and your redeemer and your refuge? Can you look back if you're an elderly person and say, yeah, look at all of the wonderful things that God has done because you know Him and you've walked with Him? How about you younger folks? Have you committed your life to the Lord? Or you think, well, maybe that religion stuff's for when you get old. Well, I think tonight we've seen quite the opposite, haven't we? I think it's so important that you have a personal relationship with Christ. The sooner the better. And here we see the psalmist just finds himself in a place where he's been many, many times. He remembers, he recounts all of the times that God has rescued him and been with him and redeemed him. And he knew who his rock was, his redeemer, from the earliest days of his life when he can even remember. And what does he do? He writes this psalm for you and I hundreds of years later as he's passing the baton to us. And those of us who are looking at the psalm tonight going, wow. What a heavy psalm for the gray-headed. What a heavy psalm for the younger people. Well, I think we need to pass on the baton as well and proclaim God's goodness and His love and His grace and His mercy. And so that we, the gray-headeds, if you would, in the body of Christ, can tell and proclaim and witness to the younger people that God is faithful. God can never be otherwise. He can never be unfaithful. He is faithful and He is true. So be encouraged tonight. Maybe you're going through some difficult times. Maybe you're going through that sifting that I mentioned on Sunday. But you know what? God is in control of your life. If you belong to Him, He's going to see you through. He's going to use all things to work together for good for those that love Him. For your good and for His glory. So this psalm tonight to me was a tremendous word of encouragement. And we may not know who wrote it, but you know what? We can kind of put ourselves right in this psalm as well. God is faithful. God is true. He'll never let you be put to shame. And He is going to deliver us one day. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this wonderful psalm. I thank you, Lord, that you are acquainted with all of our griefs, all of our sorrow. Lord, even as we saw last Sunday, that over that 40 days when you were in the wilderness, you were tempted in every way. And so, Lord, you're able to relate with us or relate to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you were tempted in every way, but yet without sin. Why? Because you were the one that went before us. And you were the one that's going to see us home. So, Lord, whether we're young, middle age, or older, I pray, Lord, that this psalm has spoken to us tonight in manifold ways of your faithfulness, your goodness, that you are in control, that you'll never forsake us, you'll never leave us. Lord, that you're going to see us home. You've redeemed us, you've ransomed us, and we thank you, God, that you are our rock and our fortress, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.